How was it? No survivors. Right on. They talked in homicidal vocabulary as if this thing they did was violent. They killed, they murdered, they annihilated, they crushed. Sometimes they died. Sitting behind him, the chubby feature pulled at his beard. Billy Ray felt bad for what he was about to do to him. Poor kid, he thought. I am going to bury you. His confidence was absolute, total control. He had an idea, something like redemption. Reclamation demands sacrifice. There would be collateral damage. The feature looked up from his notebook and caught the old man staring. He smiled. Billy Ray showed him his teeth. I'm going to make this hard on you. I'm sorry. This is not your night. At precisely 9:45, a manager came in the door and asked the MC if he was ready. The skinny kid said he was, and the manager said, all right. And the kid stood up and bounced on his toes, then jumped quickly three times, bringing his knees up to his chest. He turned to Billy Ray and asked how he wanted to be introduced. I don't care, kid. Whatever you want. Come on, said McDonald's. Let's give him a show. Fine. Billy Ray panned the span of his career for the gold. You can tell them 12 appearances on Johnny Carson, 6 Lettermans, and an hour special on HBO. Whoa, the MC said, and then tell them I was in a car crash last night. Can do. The kid shut the door but reopened it immediately. And sorry, but it's Schaefer, right? Not Shaver? Last I checked. Okay, sorry, thanks. The kid shut the door and stayed gone. From behind the door, they heard music come on the loudspeakers and the crowd went quiet. Over the music, a voice through a microphone said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the world-famous Comedy Works. Please keep your conversation to a minimum and your laughter to a maximum. The voice asked the crowd to welcome their MC to the stage, and the voice said the kid's name and the crowd broke into ready applause. Billy Ray's heart stormed. He looked at his watch. 10 minutes until his rebirth. The other opener shut his notebook and rose to his feet with a grunt. I'm gonna go watch him, he said. Have a good set. No survivors, said Billy Ray. What? Never mind. The feature left. Besides the sound of McDonald tapping a staccato rhythm with his pen against his notepad, the room was silent. Billy Ray lit a cigarette and blew a cloud of smoke into the white lights embedded like eyeballs into the ceiling. Billy Ray lit a cigarette and blew a cloud of smoke into the white lights embedded like eyeballs in the ceiling. The bulbs cast McDonald in an angelic highlight. To Billy Ray, the light appeared to be pulling his friend skyward. Damn it, he thought. I shouldn't have smoked that grass. He shook his head like a dog fed peanut butter and slapped his cheek with his palm. Last chance to take me off the show, he said. I could pull the fire alarm. No, sir, it's happening. McDonald smiled his cad's grin. Either you'll crush or fail miserably. I'll have a good laugh either way. You got all the angles covered. Any good gambler knows a sure thing. So you're a good gambler now? I've only lost everything twice. It's good to see you, Norm. I was thinking about you the other day. I was in Albany. They have one of your old headshots on the wall, the mullet one. I hated that fucking picture. I like it. You look good, mischievous, like how I remember you. Mischievous? Like a kid with a slingshot and a pocket full of rocks. I probably had some rocks in my pocket back then. When you walked in here tonight, I took it as a sign. A sign of what? I don't know. I don't think we're meant to understand signs. I think all we can do is acknowledge them when they appear. Are you stoned too? Do you believe in God, Billy? Billy Ray searched McDonald's face for a hint of the joke, hoping for a punchline, but all he found was a placid sincerity he didn't know what to do with. He cleared his throat and spit in a trash can. Do I believe in God? Like Jesus? Doesn't have to be Jesus. Just a higher power. Something greater. An order. A bigger truth. Billy Ray cocked his eyebrow. No, I can't say I do. And I don't think God believes in me. Do you believe in anything? Billy Ray looked at the carpet. I believe in my act. McDonald nodded. Sometimes it's all we have. So you're a God guy now? I don't know. I think about it. What's next and all that? It's all dirt, baby. I hope there's more. That's a safer bet. It's all house money. But if he knows we're hedging, why would he honor the slip? You're getting heavy in your old age and not just in the middle. I think I've been reading too much. Billy Ray put out his cigarette and finished his whiskey. I better get out there. He stood up and repeated the ritual of smoothing his hair. He adjusted his shirt in the mirror and cinched his bolo. He wished his nostrils worked. Don't think too hard while I'm gone. I'm going to watch you. Billy Ray opened the door. Watch and learn. See you on the other side. Billy Ray took his position behind the curtain and rolled his neck in slow circles. He listened to the crowd. The MC was doing well. He talked fast. So fast he stepped on his laughs, but it was a purposeful pace. He wasn't rushing to dodge silence. He was throttling up. The crowd reacted to his punchlines, but instead of waiting for them to quit laughing, he just hit them again, building momentum, pushing the tempo, increasing the fervor. It was like building a campfire to maximize the flame. You have to arrange the sticks just so. Billy Ray could feel it. They were about to burn. And I told her, the MC said, no, that's not my clover hitch. And I'm not a Boy Scout either. Billy Ray didn't hear the setup, but by the way the kid delivered the line, he knew this was his closer, and the crowd concurred. Applause, laughter, riot. It was time. Adrenaline flooded his blood. Clear purpose drove the haze from his head, and his spine went bolt straight. His focus crystallized, taking on weight, becoming a brandishable thing. The only sound to ever exist was the MC's voice. Who's ready for a comedy show? Billy Ray cracked his knuckles. He was an instrument, a blunt object. We have a real good one for you tonight. Norm MacDonald is here, y'all. Let him hear it. But before that, we have a few special guests. I'm really excited about this first guy. He's a bona fide legend. He's an old friend of Norm's who just so happened to be in town, so Norm told him to come down. He's a little banged up. He was in a car accident last night in Pueblo, but we all know how they drive down there. Drunk. Billy Ray was lightning. He was time itself. You might have seen him on Letterman, or he appeared on a little show called The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson 12 times. Maybe you saw his hour special on HBO. Ladies and gentlemen, we're lucky to have this guy. Now please give a big Comedy Works welcome to Billy Ray Schaefer. Now. He floated through the curtain on skates of light. His legs ended at his knees. It felt like he was inside a memory. The crowd bayed and he saw them all at once. And he remembered that there are only 5 kinds of faces and they only exist with his sanction. Here we go, motherfuckers. Now this is me. He found the MC's hand and as they shook, he felt the individual bones in the kid's fingers rub together. Have fun, said the kid. Billy Ray winked and seized the microphone and set his feet squarely in the center of the stage. The ceiling was lower than he remembered. Right on top of him, both very close and distant. He placed his palm flat against it, becoming a pillar. He cocked his hip to the side. All these eyes, all these ears. He realized he was standing far back, upstage. The lights were on his chest. He stepped into them and went blind. Hello, Denver. How the hell are you? Like every crowd everywhere, they bucked with rowdy pride upon hearing the name of the place where they lived. It was a cheap trick, but an effective one. He didn't come to fight fair. Let's keep it going for Kevin, a very funny young woman. If anyone needs to clean their gutters, Kevin's torso is available. He'll eat all the leaves. Denver, hot damn am I glad to be home. I'm born and raised in Colorado. I started in this very room. The crowd roared, one of us. They opened their bosom and spread their collective legs. He knew precisely what he was doing. I love Colorado so much I got 303 tattooed on my wrist. Billy Ray pushed back his sleeve to reveal a mottled tattoo. 303, gone gray as peeled snakeskin. You guys know what that is, right? Area code, shouted one voice. Area code, shouted another. That's right, Billy Ray said. It's my target weight. I'll get there one day. He stalked the edge of the stage, making a show of surveying the room. What a good-looking bunch. Jesus, look at the size of this guy. He motioned, looking at a Hulk in the front row. The black skin on his bald head glistened in the lights, an obsidian totem. How'd you get off of the Green Mile? Lordy, how tall are you, sir? The man's voice was a timpani drum beaten in the bottom of a well. 6'7". 6'7", Billy Ray repeated for the benefit of the back of the room. Do you play for the Broncos or are you just hung like one? God damn, I bet you're hiding a hammer. You get a boner, your feet fall asleep. The man's laugh exposed a row of opaline teeth dotted with one gold canine. And is this your date? Billy Ray pointed to the slight white woman beside him. "That's my wife," the man said. "Your wife? I see. I had you pegged for her driver." "Your wife? What a beautiful couple. Ma'am, how long have you been married?"
12 years. A year for every inch of his dick."
"I'm surprised you're not in a wheelchair, honey. You're just the cutest little thing. I bet you sleep in a drawer. How tall are you?"
5'1".
Billy Ray slapped the mic on his hand and affected mock stupefaction. 5'1 and 6'7. When you two make love, it looks like a marshmallow on a tree branch." Billy Ray surprised himself. He'd never said that before. He joined the crowd and laughed at his fresh creation. "I bet when he..." "What happened to your face?" demanded a pair of mutton chops and an acid wash jacket. Reflexively, Billy Ray pivoted, located the Inquisitor, and faster than thought, spoke directly from his instinctive unconscious. "What happened to my face? I was in a car accident last night, sideburns. What's your excuse?" The line was neither incredibly funny or original, but in shootouts it was the quickness that mattered. A crash of laughter and a welling wave of percussive applause spread from back to front and left to right. The shrieking of air pushed hard through pursed lips punctured the ruckus like bottle rockets above a parade. Billy Ray leaned in. "If you're here, who's loading Metallica's gear? Why did you kill JonBenet?" He pointed to the enormous black man from earlier. "If you don't shut up, I'm going to sick John Henry on you. But instead of racing a train, he's going to run a train on your ass." Billy Ray held up a fist and forced the microphone inside of it. The giant stomped his feet. His laughter boomed off the brick walls. "Didn't you listen? As Kevin said up top, I was in a bit of a car accident last night. If you think this is bad, you should see the tree. I was in Pueblo last night."
"I'm sorry," shouted a voice from the darkness. Billy Ray spread his faux smile. "So I see you've been there. Anyone else been to Pueblo?"
Weak applause drowned in a chorus of boos. "What the hell happened down there? Do they put meth in the tap water? The town motto is turn around." He was really using every part of the buffalo, ingratiating regionalism, one of the oldest arrows in his quiver. Bash a nearby city, but one far enough away that no one in the room lives there. It was like mocking the deaf. They can't hear it. "Pueblo, they really put a lot of creativity into that name." "Pueblo, the town named town. Wonder how long they worked on that." "What, was Adobe shithole taken?" The laughs came unfettered now. The mix of charm and xenophobia had shorted out their judgment centers. They were defenseless, doomed. They liked him and he knew it. In this realm, the words lost meaning. All that mattered was they came from his mouth. He was in the pocket, outside of time. From his vantage point, he could do what he pleased. The sense of connection, of agency, won. "And another thing," he said, as alive as a man can be. "They have the dumbest fucking street signs I've ever seen. I saw one today that said, 'Beware of falling rock.'" He smiled. He had risen. He was home. Chewing ice, McDonald smiled over the lip of his glass. "What was that line? Like a marshmallow on a tree branch?" They were tucked away in a corner booth at a bar down Curtis Street. McDonald and Schaefer and Kevin the MC. The bar was called Beckett's, and appointed to every inch of wall space hung the framed jerseys of famous Denver sportsmen. Most of them were autographed. Billy Ray recognized all the names. He wondered how much the autograph increased the value of the memorabilia. He wondered what his signature was worth, if anything. He had been asked for autographs tonight. After the show, as the crowd let out, he'd stood by the bar, shaking hands, hoping someone would offer him drugs. He drank 3 Glenlivets after his set. Doubles, all of them spiked with cocaine. The cocktails and the fresh triumph had him gregarious and talkative and needy, so he stood by the bar, leeching compliments, letting people tell him how funny he was, how he made their night, and how he was just what they needed. A drunk man in a filthy sweatshirt swore he remembered Billy Ray from Carson, and Billy Ray's ego decided to believe him. The man asked for a picture with him and his wife, and Billy Ray complied. Standing in between them, his hand drifting lower and lower down the woman's back until it rested on the top of the curve of her ass. She tried to pull away, but Billy Ray held her in place. "Smile," said the man. A pair of couples told Billy Ray they remembered him from the club many years before. "He used to have a mullet, right?" "It was a wig."
"Really?"
"Yeah, I sold it to Jeff Foxworthy." 3 women, clearly sloshed, attacked him in a squealing group hug. They'd won free tickets at work, and this was their first comedy show.
They smelled like cigarettes and hairspray. As they talked, he pictured each of them naked on their hands and knees. "You were our favorite," the leader said. "You should have stayed on longer. That last guy must have been high or something." The women encircled him, forming a shell that separated Billy Ray from the rest of the crowd. One of them stood very close, jamming her breasts into his forearm. Her teeth were gapped. She looked like Howdy Doody. "So you grew up in Colorado," she said. "Born and bred." He imagined her naked, her face in a pillow, her hair in his fist, his dick in her ass. "Where?" "Where?" "Kiowa," she would scream. "Where's that?" "Out east." He wanted to make her scream. He pressed into her, feeling the wire of her bra against the back of his wrist. "Where are you ladies headed after this?" They giggled. "Gotta get home to the hubby," said Howdy Doody. "He's probably..." She kept talking, but Billy Ray didn't need to hear any more. He signed a few ticket stubs and posed for more pictures, but no one offered him anything besides praise. He would have taken anything. His performer's high had burnt off, and the come down was sharp, harsh, pellucid. Earlier, he'd indulged himself the premise that tonight was a homecoming, a victory, a decisive return to form. But now, in the loud quiet, he understood that without stakes, nothing could be won. The game needs skin, and he was a skeleton. The club was empty, and so was he. He went to the bathroom and tried unsuccessfully to force cocaine up his vitiated nostril. Frustrated, he considered boofing the blow, but he decided he didn't have enough left to make it worthwhile. He dropped what he had left on his tongue and let his mouth go cold. Now in the sports bar, surrounded by noteworthy blouses, Schaefer sat silently, fiending. His leg bounced wildly. Every so often, he kneed the underside of the table, causing the glasses to rattle. Since they sat down, McDonald and Kevin had been talking about golf. Billy Ray wanted the MC to leave so he could be alone with his friend, but McDonald seemed to be enjoying the conversation. While they talked, Billy Ray scanned the room for indications of purchasable cocaine. Neck tattoos, sunglasses, runny nose, jabber jaws. He kept his eye on the bathroom, watching for frequent flyers, but nobody caught his attention. The closest he found was a man in a mottled wife beater standing at the end of the bar. The man was chewed up, wan, composed of evident bones. His shoulder blades sharp and loose, jutted like calcified wings, and between them dangled a rope of long gray hair tied off into three segments with strips of leather. The man gesticulated, drawing circles in the low light. His voice rose above the electric jukebox. Whoever the man was talking to wasn't listening or didn't exist. Billy Ray peeled himself off the vinyl and raised his empty bottle. He decided to switch to beer, not wanting to appear too drunk around Norm. "Another round?" McDonald shook his head, but the MC raised his high life and said, "Yes, please." Billy Ray maneuvered to the bar and stood at the elbow next to the raving man. "Don't let me catch you, you lying bitch," the man said. "Just fucking watch me." The man leaned against the bar and arched backwards until his nose pointed at the ceiling. 9 years you got me for. 9. The man rotated to face Billy Ray, holding up 8 fingers. His skin was wasp paper gray, his face a spider web of wrinkles. Trapped in his skull, his eyes were unseeing, as blank as 2 busted televisions. "You got 9 off of me, and now what?" "Chicken butt," Billy Ray muttered. The madman spread his arms and shimmied back and forth on the bar top as if he were crucified. "Just fucking wait," said the man. "No one does me this way. I'll see to it. I'll see." Then he started to cry. Billy Ray moved down the bar and ordered 2 high lifes. Baby-faced businessmen, new captains of old industries, downed Jaeger bombs along the middle of the bar while 3 old drunks sipped red wine and watched a muted game show on a flat-screen TV. Billy Ray surmised one of, if not all, of the young Turks held blow. They probably had a ball between them. Good stuff, most likely, but they wouldn't be looking to sell. Men like them didn't traffic. They shared, but they didn't share with men like him. Billy Ray brought the beers back to the table and re-wedged himself in the booth. "Are you fags still talking about golf?" McDonald nodded. "Yup, we're just a couple of randy homosexuals talking about golf. Nothing I enjoy more than talking about golf with other full-fledged homosexual men. I like shooting the shit before packing the shit. That's what I like. Yes, sir, I tell ya." Billy Ray smiled at his friend's riff, but soured by his failed dope hunt, he failed to laugh. I was always terrible at golf. Of course you were, McDonald explained. You're too tall for golf. Golf is a short man's game. It's all about finding your center. I don't have the patience. You would if you tried. I don't know. I think it's a perfect game. You still get out there? Some. I prefer to watch. You watch golf? Incessantly. Live? Mostly on TV. Billy Ray whistled. Damn if that isn't some boring shit. Well, it's not monster trucks. You have to know how to watch. It's like fencing with grass. All that whispering. You don't know anything. I know watching golf is some masochist shit. Then I'm the Marquis de Sade. I will say, if I was better at golf, I might still have a career. The green is where the real deals get made. Remember that, Kevin. The MC perked up, glad to be included. He nodded intently. Really? No, said Billy Ray. Stand-up is dead. McDonald's eyes narrowed. From what I hear, we're in a golden age. It's gilded. They call it progress. I call it bullshit. You sound like a dinosaur, like your bones are made of crude. I am what I am. I've seen too much to shut my eyes. You're still funny. There's some killers. Hell, Kevin's gonna be good. But for the most part, the industry is softer than my dick. All the PC shit, no one has jokes. It's all just trying to make people think. Pryor didn't make you think? He made me laugh. Kevin interjected. Did you hear he fucked Marlon Brando? Billy Ray's head snapped towards the young comedian. What? That's what I read. Huh? The two older men exchanged glasses considering this factoid. Finally, McDonald asked, who was on the bottom? Billy Ray waved his bottle in front of his face as if shooting flies. Who knows? Maybe I'd have fucked Brando. That's not the point. McDonald cracked a wry smile. It's not? What I'm saying is that Pryor told the truth in what he did, and that truth was fucking funny. It wasn't candy-coated and neutered. None of this bathwater bullshit. McDonald laughed. What does that even mean? Call me old-fashioned, but I like funny comedy. Old-fashioned. I didn't come to read the news. I'm sorry, but are you? One of the Young Money men from the bar stood in front of their booth staring at McDonald. He wore a visor backwards and upside down. Embroidered on the visor was a cursive letter A. Flipped, it looked like a V with a line through it. What's up? McDonald asked. The man squinted, as if assessing something. I'm sorry to be this guy, but... He cut himself off. His eyes expanded with excitement as he reached a conclusion in his head. Holy shit, you're him. The man turned around to face his friends and held his arm vertically perpendicular. Touchdown. It's him, he shouted. It's the Weekend Update guy. Billy Ray straightened up, stacking every inch of himself rigid. All right, move along. This isn't a zoo. No, McDonald said, patting the big man on the shoulder. It's all right. He stuck out his hand. What's up, man? I fucking knew it. The man pumped McDonald's hand. I fucking loved you when I was a kid. You were the best part of the show. Wow, thanks, man. What's your name again? Jim Brewer. That's right, Jim Brewer. He turned back to his friends and yelled, Jim fucking Brewer. The man clasped his head with his hands as if he might explode. I told them it was you. He looked back at his crew. I fucking told you it was him. The man leaned in, laying his elbow on the table. You think you could come over and say hi to my boys? Oh, I don't think so, but thanks for watching the show. Come on, they're all big fans. They're just right over there. The man jerked his thumb over his shoulder. I'm not going to do that, but again, thanks. Don't be like that. Come on, have a drink with us. I'm flattered. McDonald waved at the group and they responded with thumbs up and raised glasses, but I'm fine right here. What, you're too good to come over and say hi to some fans? No. Then just come over. Just for 1 minute. You gotta meet my boy Donnie. He's super funny. He does great impressions. No thank you, but thanks for the offer. Come on, you might get some material for your skits. No, I'm just... Look, it's late, and I'm just trying to have a quiet drink with my father and son. That cracked Billy Ray right up. He couldn't help but laugh. The man looked down at Billy Ray, acknowledging him for the first time. What's so funny? Oh, just something my son said earlier. This is your dad? McDonald put his hand on Billy Ray's shoulder. Sure is. Ain't that right, Papa? Billy Ray struggled to restrain his laughter. He beamed at McDonald. That's me, Papa. The man's eyes bounced between their faces. He doesn't look like you. He was adopted, Billy Ray said. Great story. Come tell my friends. You tell them me and Dad have some catching up to do. Did you raise him this way? Looking down at Billy Ray. Looking down at Billy Ray, the man's eyes were slim red portals. He was built firm, gym strong. Mounded traps pulled his shirt tight to his deep chest, and his forearms were thick, unbreakable, but nothing about him was intimidating. Billy Ray knew scary men, and they didn't wear visors. This man had never been in a fight in his life. Billy Ray could feel it. It was like a smell, the bravery of ignorance. This man had never been dominated by another. He'd never known the crude intimacy of violence, never felt the fear of laying on his back wondering if the boot would come to his temple or his throat. He was weak, part of a generation of false vipers. It's easy to run your mouth when you have all your teeth. Billy Ray rolled his beer between his palms, feeling the heaviness of the bottom of the bottle. He looked up at the man, putting the venom in his eyes. Raised him what way? To be an asshole? Mr. Hollywood won't come talk to the little people. McDonald smiled slyly and angled his neck to look around the man. No one mentioned little people. You've got midgets over there? The man's forehead compressed. What? No. Wait, what? McDonald leaned back in the booth. Look, man, give your friends my thanks and go ahead and put a round on my bar tab. Brewer, it's open. The man reached for his back pocket and Billy Ray tensed, automatically grabbing the bottle by the neck and lifting it slightly. But the man only held his billfold. I don't need your money. I've got money. The man peeled back the lips of his wallet to show a sheaf of bills. Plenty of money. You sure do, said McDonald. The man looked from McDonald to Kevin to Billy Ray to McDonald. Man, fuck this. He leveled his finger at McDonald's, jabbing it in his face. You're bullshit. This was enough for Billy Ray. He seized the man's wrist and pinned his hand to the table. Time to move along, son. The man tried to pull his hand away, but Billy Ray held tight. Now. Let go of me, will you? Let go of me. Will you leave? I'll do whatever I fucking want. Free country. The man picked up Kevin's beer and drank from it. Billy Ray drove the butt of his hand into the bottom of the bottle, forcing glass into the man's teeth. The bottle fell, shattered on the floor. The man staggered backwards, his hand covering his mouth, his eyes alive in his skull. A noise came through his fingers. Animal. Primitive. Billy Ray had heard it before.
What the hell, man?
The man simpered, observing from the bar. His friends put down their drinks. Rising to his feet, Billy Ray stood as tall as he could be. That beer wasn't yours, and neither is he. The man pulled back his hand and his eyes bulged. Dark blood stained his fingers. His lip, busted wide, leaked fresh crimson down the front of his shirt.
Motherfucker,
he said, sputtering blood. Billy Ray moved forward, unsure of what happened next. His muscles danced with anticipation. The man was young and strong, but Billy Ray was a veteran of violence. If his pack jumped in, the numbers would complicate the exchange. But they were still at the bar watching their friend back away from the old big man, like he thought they were. Cowards. His conviction increased. Alone with this man, one-on-one, he had the skills to perform what was necessary. He balled his fist. Billy! Billy Ray stopped his approach. It was McDonald's voice. Billy Ray glanced back quickly, careful to leave the man in his periphery. McDonald's face was hard, nearing plaintive, his eyes pleading. But through a crack in the grimness, a grin bloomed. Papa. Billy Ray looked down at the floor, not wanting the visor man to see him smile. The man, his upper lip tucked under his lower lip, had positioned a table between himself and Billy Ray. Boxed in by a cigarette machine, he'd unwittingly cornered himself. No escape. The vulnerability showed on his face. I thought I was strong, but I am weak. He held up his hands, cowered. The blatant recreance incensed Billy Ray.
I'm sorry. I'll leave.
I've got a mind to break your jaw, said the big man. He felt tough. It felt good.
I'm sorry.
The visor man held his palms out flat. I should stomp a mud hole in your ass, but I don't want my grandson to see that. In one smooth movement, Billy Ray moved the table aside, stepped in, and grabbed the man by his soaked collar. So you're getting a pass. Billy Ray jerked the man's chest closer to him, bouncing his head off the wall. He put his mouth to the man's ear. From behind, the man appeared the victim of a vampiric rite. In a low buffalo, Billy Way whispered, Do you have any coke?
Confusion spanned the man's face.
What?
Blow. White. Are you holding?
The man jammed his hand in his hip pocket, but Billy Ray caught his elbow slowly. He'd allowed the man to remove his closed fist. He opened his hand, revealing a folded paper packet.
Here, take it.
Billy Ray put the parcel in his breast pocket and released his hold and returned to his seat in the booth, and the man ran past his friends and out the door. The men at the bar watched him go. None of them moved towards Billy Ray. Cowards. It was over. Billy Ray tilted up his beer and drained it. No one spoke. The silence was a distance between them, a measurable length. A thin shame started to form around Billy Ray, a disgust with the speed with which he lapsed into barbarity. The quiet intensified the ill feeling. He was about to apologize when McDonald said, "Thanks, Papa." Their laughter washed away the weirdness.
"That was badass, man," Kevin said. He sounded like a kid leaving a movie theater. "That was some roadhouse shit."
McDonald agreed. "Yep, I too enjoyed that display of totally unwarranted brutality." Billy Ray's hand shot out and pinched McDonald's cheek. "No one bothers my baby boy."
McDonald stroked his cheek with the back of his index finger and resumed his old sarcasm. "My favorite part was when you kissed his neck. Very psychosexual."
"You see, Kevin, you can take the man out of prison, but you can't take the dangerous homosexuality out of the man."
Kevin shook his head. "I wouldn't last a day in prison."
"Are you kidding?" Billy Ray said. "You'd have lots of friends. They put a wig on you and trade you for ramen packets."
McDonald nodded. "You'd be currency, legal tender."
"Oh, you'd be tender, all right." Billy Ray slugged the young comedian's arm.
"You know what the funniest part is?"
Kevin said. "Tomorrow someone is going to ask that guy what happened to his lip, and he's going to tell him I got beat up by Jim Brewer's dad."
They sat on the balcony, McDonald and Schaefer, burning cigars beneath a sky robbed of its stars by the city's glowing vulgarity. The condo perched 42 stories above the sidewalk. Looking out, they could see the individual pieces of the city puzzled together as the sprawl expanded across the Platte River and further the highway and past the new football stadium and into the highlands and Golden and beyond. Houses and buildings, roads and cars eating up all the front range, the growth only ceasing when confronted by the mountain's greater black. Billy Ray boiled with heartburn, the cigar in one hand, a beer between his knees. After last call, they got tacos from a truck, and the street meat was not agreeing with his belly full of cocaine and liquor. He was a hornet's nest. He thought he might get sick. If he did, he decided to do it over the railing so he could see what vomit looked like falling at 400 feet. McDonald rolled the ash from his cigar into an ashtray made of thick crystal. "Which part of the city are you from?"
"I'm from the country, out east behind us."
"What's the name of your town?"
"Kiowa."
"Like the Indians?"
"Yep, the tribe used to protest the football games in their robes and headdresses. It had the opposite effect. They just looked like really authentic mascots."
McDonald took a drag of a cigar and let the smoke stream from his mouth like it was the barrel of a fired gun.
"We were the Rough Riders."
"Like the condom?"
"It's a breaker of wild horses."
"Sounds like a fag porno."
"They changed it a year after I dropped out."
"To what?"
"The Cardinals."
Billy Ray loosed a tremendous burp, ripping the late quiet. It sounded like a garbage disposal.
"Rough Rider sounds tougher."
"Unequivocally. I've had a few Rough Riders in my day."
"Your first wife?"
"Only wife," Billy Ray snorted.
"She tried. They don't make a saddle big enough for you."
Raising his chin, Billy Ray spat through the bars of the railing and watched the arcing effluvium fall and break apart.
Or she didn't hold on tight enough.
McDonald laid his arms across the top of the cold railing and rested his chin on the back of his hands.
"When you lived in the city, where did you live?"
Billy Ray pointed with the tip of the cigar.
"South."
"What was the town called?"
"South Denver."
"What was the mascot down there?"
"Yuppies."
"You sure you have enough blankets?"
McDonald stood in the doorway, framed by the light pouring out of his room. Backlit, he was faceless, a wraith.
"I'm solid," Billy Ray said.
"That couch okay?"
"Better than my car."
"You sure you don't want the bed?"
"Bed's for the headliner."
"That's what you taught me.
Remember that time in Halifax? The bunk beds? When the girl kept hitting her head? You kept me up all night."
"She was insatiable."
Can you believe that was 20 years ago? I don't believe a word out of your mouth. The last 30 years, it's like I was fired out of a cannon. You're heavy artillery. You're a bayonet. Good night, Billy. It's Papa now. McDonald shut his door and pitch black swallowed the room. Billy Ray flipped and turned for half an hour, searching for a comfortable position while the cocaine tamed. The couch, black leather, retained the heat of him. He removed his t-shirt and his pants and stripped until he wore only one sock. Fully nude and sleek with sweat, he stuck to the leather. Eventually, he rolled off the couch onto the carpet and slept on the floor like a dog.
Saturday. The beams of orange light skirting the edge of the blinds were so bold in the darkness they looked wet, molten, like melted sugar. Bathed in the light and on his side curled fetal, Billy Ray, naked and pale pink, looked like a shrimp dipped in butter. He'd woke once in the early morning, panicked with sick, and blindly bull-rushed the darkness, barely reaching the toilet in time. Tossing his festering poison served as a curative. He returned to his nest on the carpet and sank to the ocean floor of his unconscious. He remained there until 12:30 the following afternoon, soaked in the liquid light. When he opened his eyes again, he entered the day the victim of a demanding thirst. The inside of his mouth felt drywalled. He went to the sink and slurped. The water soothed the skin of his ruined stomach. In his reflection in the surface of the stainless steel stove, he could see there was vomit in his hair. He was wordless in his mind. He felt like he should be embarrassed or disgusted, but he had reached deeper bottoms. There was no more embarrassment or disgust left in him. He had exhausted his reserves. All he felt was a remoteness, as if he were far away. He smiled at his reflection. The day was too long to hate himself immediately. "Good morning." McDonald was seated on the balcony with a book in his lap, wearing wraparound sunglasses that replaced his eyes with mirrors. "Morning. There's coffee in the pot. Where's the towels? In the closet in the hall." Billy Ray turned the shower to scalding and stepped under the spray and let the water burn him clean. He redressed in his old clothes, stinking of dead cigarettes, and inspected the toilet and the vicinity for errant puke. Finding none, he left the bathroom and made a cup of coffee and brought the pot to the balcony. "Need a warm-up?" McDonald held out his cup and Billy Ray poured slowly, struggling to control the quiver in his hand. "What you reading?" McDonald flattened the book and Billy Ray read the cover. "The Plague. Sounds light. How'd you sleep?" "All right. I made a few mistakes." "Is that Woody Allen?" "Stephen Wright." Below them, the city breathed and bled. Cars pumped up and down streets made arteries by the distance. From here, the entire circulation was laid bare. The buildings were the organs, and the people were the blood. Denver, a creature with no head. The people were small, insignificant. He wondered where they were going, where they thought they had to be. Billy Ray lit a cigarette and sat down and drank his coffee and studied the cycles of the city. He never located the heart. Billy Ray ate breakfast and McDonald ate lunch at a diner in the lobby downstairs. Billy ordered eggs over easy with bacon and well-done hash browns, and sourdough toast, and McDonald had a club sandwich with no tomatoes and onion rings. In the habit of the reconnected, they talked about people they knew and whether they were alive or dead. "Did you hear Mitch Janowski killed himself?" asked McDonald. "How'd he do it?" "Shotgun in the chest." "In the chest?" Billy Ray dabbed a puddle of yolk with a toast point. "That never made sense to me. The head is where you want it. It's not a fucking trick shot. It's right there." He rested his chin on his water glass. "Boom. Easy." "Perhaps he wanted to save face." "Mitch didn't have a face worth saving." "It's less of a mess." "Where'd he do it?" "Hotel room after a show." "He probably didn't want to lose the deposit. Cheap bastard. You know the old adage, speak ill of the dead." Billy Ray pointed his fork at another table. "Look at this." "What?" "Ranch dressing." "What about it?" "This whole fucking country is crazy for ranch dressing. It's the new ketchup. It's disgusting." "What are you, Andy Rooney?" "It's a fucking epidemic." "Did you hear about Jordy Stickle?" "Jordy Stickle? I haven't thought about him in years." "He ran over a kid." "Fuck. They sentenced him 30 years. So the kid died? No, he lived. And he still got 30 years? McDonald nodded. Seems a little extreme. Billy Ray had a habit of fondling things as he talked. Fiddling, his wife called it. She said it was because he was nervous. People might actually hear what he said. Sitting here with his friend, he hoped that was still the name for what they were. He rearranged his fork and his knife like they were cards in a Monty scam, his fingers working at their own game while his lips played another. He wanted a drink, but the diner didn't have a license to serve. He was embarrassed when the waitress informed him. She had soft eyes. She seemed sorry, like she knew it would help. Was it Stickle who had that bit about wire hangers? I don't know. Something about how they made your clothes look like a ghost was wearing them. I don't remember. Olivia always liked Stickle. She always said I should write more jokes like his. Bland and toothless? She liked that stuff. Observations. She thought my act was too mean. Good comedy is truthful. And the truth is mean. She never thought you were funny. I wasn't that funny back then. She hated Kinison. Then her opinion is moot. Billy Ray arched the pitch of his voice feminine. He's just yelling up there. People don't want to be yelled at on a night out. He had to yell so people would hear what he was saying. I think I'm going to go see her. Your wife? She's up north. Where are your sons? Somewhere around here. Billy Ray looked out the window at the primetime Saturday streets. A woman and a girl stood at the crosswalk waiting for the light to change. In one hand, she held a burden of heavy shopping bags, and in the other, she clutched the child's mittened hand. A group of young men attired in black and gold jerseys moved around them like a school of fish and crossed against the light. The lady shook her head and leaned down to say something to the girl, a warning, nodding towards the young men, any one of which could have been his sons. He realized he didn't know what either of his boys looked like anymore. In his head, they were still as big as the girl. The light changed, and the pair marched forward, little hand and bigger hand. Hold on tight, lady, he thought. Don't let her get away. I want to look them up, too. That's good. How's your boy? They say he's a genius. He wants to be a writer, a poet. So he's gay? I don't care what he is, as long as he's not a comic. Billy Ray leaned to one side and pulled his notebook from his pocket. He flipped through the pages until he found the right one. What are your plans for today? Go upstairs and read, take a nap before the shows. You want to do the guest sets tonight? I think Wendy's going to be there. Billy Ray stirred his cold coffee. You sure she'd be okay with that? It's been years. She's like an elephant. Prized for her ivory? Exactly. Can I borrow your phone? Billy Ray stepped outside with his notebook and McDonald's phone and struggled to light a cigarette against the licking of a sharp breeze pushing bits of trash along the gutter as it tried to muster the strength to become wind. He found an alcove by the diner's side door and sat down on a ledge to transfer the numbers on the page to the phone screen. Written next to the number in his blocked script was the name Germ. He stared at the 10 digits. Added together, they totaled 22, the same age as his youngest son, one of the signs McDonald spoke of. He pressed the green button and held his breath. Hello? The voice rang in his ears like a gunshot. The sound had the effect of a smell. It returned him to a place. Hello? Jeremy? This is Jeremiah. That's right, he was Jeremiah now. Only Billy Ray called him Jeremy, even when he was little. But he wasn't little anymore. He was a man named Jeremiah. Who's this? I don't have this number saved. Behind his son's voice, other voices clashed with the sound of a television. Billy Ray wondered if he was in a bar. The apple doesn't always fall. Sometimes it stays on the tree. Jeremiah, it's your father. The word hung in the air, as if it got trapped in the line or lost somewhere in the immeasurable space between them. Dad? Jeremiah's voice cracked, or maybe it was the connection or the word itself. He hadn't used it in a long time. Are you okay? The worry in his son's voice set like a hook in Billy Ray's heart. I'm fine, kiddo. Wyatt, he said, kiddo. No 22-year-old wants to be called kiddo. Now that he thought about it, he might have been 23. How you doing? Let me step outside. It's loud in here. Hold on. That's all I'm doing. Is that better? Crystal clear. Okay. What are you up to? Watching the Buffs game at this bar. Where are you? I'm in Denver. I'm having lunch with Norm MacDonald. Yeah. The Weekend Update guy? Yeah, this is his phone. Mine's broke. I saw his movie. It was funny. Dumb, but funny. I'll tell him. Dumb, but funny. You can leave out the dumb part. He can take it. You're in Denver? Yeah, till Monday. I don't know how I ever lived at this altitude. It's like the air isn't there. My roommate freshman year couldn't take it. He got really sick. He had to transfer. I feel like I'm drowning. The side door opened, and a tired man in a filthy white apron stood there holding two trash bags. The man looked startled. Billy Ray mouthed the words, "Sorry, am I good?" The man said nothing. Billy Ray spun his legs to the side to allow him a path to the dumpster. "What are you doing tonight?" "Nothing. There's a party later. If the Buffs pull it off, it'll probably be big. Or if they lose. Either way." "What time is that?" "Later." "Want to have dinner?" "Tonight? I mean, if you've got plans..." Billy Ray trailed off. If his son said no, he felt like he was split in half, and then split in half, disintegrate, break down to his component parts. "I could drive up. I have a car." "Nothing." Billy Ray checked the phone. The call hadn't dropped. Jeremiah was thinking. He prepared to hold himself together. There was a bar across the street. "Yeah." "What?" "Yeah, sounds good." Billy Ray stood up, raised by his son's agreement. He pumped his fist as a tear snapped free from his duct. He slashed it away with his wrist so the dumpster man didn't see. "Cool." He never said cool. "Very cool. What time you thinking? The game's in the fourth quarter." Billy Ray flicked his butt and started back towards the front door. "I'll leave now. Where should I meet you?" "I could pick you up." "Sure. Do you know where I live?" The answer shamed him as much as any evil he'd committed in his 52 years. "No. What's your address?" He wrote the numbers and words in his notebook and repeated them back. "Yep. Okay. I'll be there in an hour." "All right. See you soon. Oh, Dad?" "Dad." He let the word wash over him. "I've been drinking all morning. Game day, you know? I'll probably still be a little drunk." The warmth of the tears was made short by the wind. "That's all right." "Okay. See you in a bit. Go Buffs. Go Buffs." He hung up the phone and practically ran to the booth. Their plates were cleared, and MacDonald was counting out singles from a stack of bills. Billy Ray sat down and slid the phone across the formica. "What's the damage?" He was brimming. The room seemed brighter, more real. "I got it. Let me get the tip, then." "I got it. I'm very famous." "Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're Jim Brewer." "How'd the phone call go?" "Good. Real good. I'm going to head up to Boulder. My youngest is up there. We're going to have dinner." MacDonald's mouth yewed magnanimous. "That is good, man." Yeah, it is." Billy read down the rest of his coffee. "Still want the guest spots? Pencil me in. Bring the kid if you want." "We'll see. He said he saw your movie." "Did he like it?" "He said it was dumb but funny." "Smart kid." Walking down 15th, he moved like Bluto, bow-legged, his arms stiff at his side and going fast as he braced against the northerly wind blowing full bore now and kissed with the stink of cooked blood and industrial slaughter, gifts of the dog food plant in Commerce City and the slaughterhouses to the north, the smell of impending storm. He ducked into a liquor store on Champa and left with more cigarettes and a flask of vodka and a tall boy of Mickey's he opened and brown-bagged and drank as he walked. At the car, he smelled his wardrobe for freshness and assembled an outfit and stripped down to his boxers on the sidewalk to change. Passersby gawked and hurried past, some of them crossing the street at the sight of him. But he was oblivious to their concern, to the day, to the cold. He was on the way to see his son. The exhilaration moved his blood like a second heart. In the scrap heap of shit that was his life, rarely did he ever receive the opportunity to mend. His dinner was New England, a second chance on a second chance on a second chance. Their history was filled with cankers. He'd done his son dirty since the day he was born. Trapped in Burlington International as the runway caked with snow, Billy Ray had missed Jeremiah's screaming nativity. His wife had begged him to cancel his dates that weekend, sure that the baby would burst forth any moment, quoting her mother's folklore about prud'homme women push them out as soon as they can. But Billy Ray, cavalier and at the peak of his fame, sided with their doctor's avowal that their son would not come for 2 more weeks, and he flew to Boston that Thursday, confident in his decision. He was in Sunapee, New Hampshire, when her water broke. As soon as the caterer handed him the note, he flew from the ballroom without getting his check and braved the driving snow to Burlington, whispering, fuck me, for the duration, and daring the tires to hold the asphalt. He bought a seat on the next flight to Chicago that connected into Denver, getting him home in 7 hours, 5 with the time change. But the snow fell, and the flight was canceled, and he screamed, fuck me! With all the wind in his lungs. He went to the bar and bribed the bartender $20 for the rights to the phone and drank Canadian Club while he waited for updates from his sister-in-law. By the time the runways were cleared, Jeremiah David Schaefer was prenatal no longer. He was a 7.5-pound wedge between him and his wife, a newborn trump card in every argument thereafter. His father's absence at his birth was the first crack in the thin veneer that was his parents' fragile marriage, and in the ugliest recesses of his judgment, Billy Ray never forgave his son for being born. Out of clean socks, he wore his cowboy boots bareback. He brushed his teeth over a trash can and rinsed his mouth with beer. Spear Boulevard was empty in the dwindling afternoon. He found I-25 and sped north at 80 miles per hour, chain-smoking and drinking the vodka and concocting a lie to tell his son when he asked about his face. At Highway 36, he exited on the left towards Boulder, and his deliverance. He'd never cared for Boulder. A thick layer of neo-hippie pretension hung over the city like smog, choking the citizens humorless. The college brought in fresh minds descended from wealthy coastal families, spoiled young Californians, and New Englanders who only knew Colorado as the land that surrounded Vail and Aspen. They chose Boulder for its proximity to the slopes, and they lived in constant conflict with the locals, a judgmental breed of earth-shoed, Subaru-driving, Granota-totaling yuppies that pined for the 60s and spent their retirement fighting for bike lanes and recycling programs as if they were civil rights. In his low opinion, the only admirable aspect of Boulder was the Flatirons, 5 slashing juts of silver-veined indigo earth that served as the city's de facto welcome sign. He lowered his speed to admire the peaks glowing in the embrace of the sun's last few hours of light. To Billy Ray, it always looked like the tallest of the peaks had its arm around the other 4, cradling them as if it was their shepherd and the sky was their pasture. When Highway 36 turned into 28th, he pulled over at a gas station on Canyon Boulevard and asked the counter boy for directions to his son. What? Can you tell me how to get to Pine and 21st? The kid sighed and rolled his eyes, obviously perturbed that Billy Ray had the audacity to interrupt his consumption of a comic book titled Hate. Pine is up on the left, he said, pointing with a painted black fingernail. He covered his gangly torso with a tattered black Megadeth t-shirt, an affront to the city's peacenik affectation, and rich with the smell of torched weed. Billy Ray found it endearing. Keep going till you hit 21st. It's right by the elementary. What's the address? Billy Ray read off the numbers. Yeah, right by the school. I think I partied there before. At this tidbit, Billy Ray experienced a twinge of odd jealousy. Had this surly little skid mark really been allowed in his son's house? Were they classmates? Friends? Did his son wear dark nail polish? Did he smoke dope before work and treat strangers with contempt? Did this greasy, stoned reprobate know his boy better than he did? Thanks, Billy Ray said. For some reason, he wanted the kid's approval. You like Megadeth? Oh, wow, geez, what gave it away? Billy Ray smoked a cigarette outside the car and when it was spent, he applied deodorant and sprayed himself liberally with a bottle of cologne he kept on hand for extemporaneous trysts. He threw away his empty cans and gave the car a dousing. Then, after smelling his breath in his cupped hand and deeming it tolerable, he entered the car and turned out onto Canyon, drumming a beat on the steering wheel, sweating and more nervous than his first appearance on Carson. At Pine, he turned left and followed the descending street signs to 21st. He turned right at the school and trawled a street of neat craft-style homes for the address he'd received, repeating the house numbers as he passed. 2216, 2220, 2222. He parked the car in front of a yarded single-story home outfitted with a covered front porch and sherbet green siding. There it is. The driveway has two cars, a cream late-model Buick Century and a maroon Pontiac Sebring convertible. Walking up the drive, he hoped one of them belonged to his son, preferably the convertible. Girls love convertibles. He hoped girls loved his son. On the porch, a coffee can overflowed with cigarette butts and empty beer bottles rolled in the light wind like toppled bowling pins. The doorbell was canned chimes. The electronic tones were incongruous and barely audible over a thumping boom-bap beat emanating from inside the house. He rang it once, waited, then rang it again. And again, reluctant to knock. He didn't want to sound like the cops. After the fifth ring, the music turned down and he heard a female voice yell, "I got it." The young woman opened the door. Her face was fine-boned and subtly Asian and crowned with a tangle of asymmetric hair bleached a dull white. She wore shorts that ended well above her knee, revealing a tattoo of a jet black panther down her right thigh, and her small breasts, the nipples undoubtedly pierced, pushed unrestrained against the thin cotton of her tank top. She was shoeless. She looked like she just woke up. "Hello?" "Hiya. I'm sorry, I might have the wrong house. Does Jeremiah Schaefer live here?" "Yeah." The girl crossed her arms against Billy Ray's wandering gaze. "Oh." He stuck out his hand. "Billy Ray Schaefer. I'm his father." "I'll get him." She neglected his hand. "Jeremiah!" she bellowed. "That guy is here!" He stood there awkwardly on the threshold. "That guy?" The girl not inviting him in further, and Billy Ray not knowing how to talk to her. She was beautiful and original and intimidating. She looked like she was from the future. "Lovely house," he offered. "It's a rental." "Great location." "I guess." "Is that your convertible?" "Yeah. I got it when my mom died." Billy Ray was relieved when he heard footsteps, and around a corner came a tall young man with a face much like his, but improved upon by the addition of Olivia's clear blue eyes. His chestnut hair was cropped tight at the sides and parted down the middle. It looked exactly like the tip of a penis. Billy Ray breathed a sigh of silent relief when he saw his fingernails were unvarnished. Dressed in a blue sweatshirt and black denims over red Chuck Taylors, his son appeared healthy, untroubled, normal. "Hey, Dad." "My son is a stranger to me." Billy Ray wanted to weep. Who is this young man? How did I let it get so bad? His son's maturation proved evidence of all the time squandered, of all the memories left unmade. Yes, Billy Ray wanted to cry, to bawl, to rip his eyes out and swallow his tongue, to fall on his knees and beg forgiveness for all the evaporated time, to apologize for every forgotten birthday, for every missed swim meet, for the way he misused his mother and the resulting years he wasted, dwelling in his own pit of solitary degradation while he and his brother grew into men without guidance or love. Instead, he smiled, like God told him a secret. "Hey, yourself." He stuck out his hand, and to his surprise, Jeremiah took it and yanked the old man into him, and, while the girl watched, hugged him, the two of them patting each other's backs, Billy Ray feeling the dense meat of his boy's new body and smelling his son's hair and wishing he could stop time and be buried in this moment. "Lulu, this is my father," Jeremiah said, his arm around the old man's back as if he were showing him to a buyer. "We met Lulu." "Now that's a great name. What happened to your face?" "I slipped on some ice." "You're a comedian or something?" "Or something," Billy Ray agreed. "Jeremiah showed me some of your videos on YouTube." He looked at his son, unbelieving. He did? I could see how people could think you were funny. Billy Ray laughed. Well, that's high praise. Come on, Jeremiah said. I'm hungry. He bent down and kissed the girl with a loud smack. See you at Todd's? I'm going to Janine's first. Oh, are you? Jeremiah squeezed the girl to him and kissed her again, harder, lips parted, and she opened her mouth to allow his tongue access. Billy Ray caught himself staring like some kind of sick zookeeper as his boy, all grown up, fed his tongue to this new species of woman with white hair and feline features, gawking until he realized what he was doing and fought his eyes to the floor and studied the grain of the boards beneath his feet and surged with paternal spirit. Atta fucking boy. Text me, Jeremiah said. She cocked her eyebrow, the fine hair most dark against her sunless skin. Maybe, she said. We'll see. Jeremiah bounded down the driveway in a kind of duck walk, his haircut bouncing like a poorly tethered wig, long feet attached to long legs, his hands jammed in his pockets, and his chin tucked tight to his chest against the chill. Walking behind him, Billy Ray took note of how his son's shoulders filled out his sweatshirt. He was a chauffeur, all right. Broad, big, handsome. Billy Ray's father was 6 foot, in a time when that was gigantic, and when the tailor last measured him, Billy Ray was pushing 6'3". But here, walking next to Jeremiah, his shadow was shorter than his son's. He'd always tried to guide the boy towards brutish sports where he could use his body as a weapon, football, wrestling, basketball, but Jeremiah took to swimming, and this was the result, lean, elongated muscles packed to a wide back that tapered slim at his waist. Jeremiah spun around. You want me to drive? Nah, my car's across the street, Billy Ray said. He pressed the button on the keyless entry remote and the horn honked and the headlights flashed. What happened to the T-Bird? I sold it. This is a rental. They climbed in the car and Billy Ray put on his seatbelt, following his son's lead. Don't you get tired of driving? Jeremiah said. Not yet. I think I would. Compacted in the seat, Jeremiah's knees were bundled and pressed against the glove compartment. Billy Ray reached between his son's legs and pulled the lever below the seat, and the seat slid back. That's better. He turned on the car and turned the radio off. Where to? Could really go for some barbecue. Wherever you want. Billy Ray pulled onto the street and followed his son's directions below brown and leafless trees, their branches picked barren by autumn's persistent fingers. The neighborhood was quiet on this Saturday afternoon, the occupants idly passing the time between now and nightfall in their garages or on their porches, gangs of college kids in sweatpants and gym shorts, and all of them with a drink in their hands as they